I've been lucky enough, blessed actually, in my life to visit some of, you know, the most famous church buildings in the world. And today I want to talk about two of them. The cathedral at Chartres in northern France and the Basilica of the Sagrada Familia or Holy Family in Barcelona. To give you a bit of context, the cathedral at Chartres in northern France was built in the 12th and 13th centuries during the Middle Ages, and it's considered to be, you know, a masterpiece of Gothic style architecture in the world. It's and it is something to see with the towering spires and the flying buttresses. I really like saying that word, flying buttresses. Well, it's two words, but I like the, guess which one I like. I like those elements that really characterize so much of Gothic architecture. And what's amazing is the grandeur and the attention to detail, because they speak volumes about how important Christianity was in Europe in the Middle Ages and how much people of the time felt that beauty and art connected them with the divine. The people of that era felt that they were building something beautiful for God. However, Chartres is most famous for its stained glass windows. Those windows are considered masterpieces in and of themselves. During the Second World War, they were removed from the cathedral in order to be kept safe from any bombing or artillery fire. And what I found interesting when I visited Chartres was how many of the businesses surrounding the cathedral are related to stained glass. They're manufacturers, they're artisans. You know, 800 years later, it still seems to be the town's main industry. And those windows depict so much of the life of Christ. They depict scenes from the Bible. They depict the creation of the world. You have to remember that in the Middle Ages, very few people could read and write. They weren't literate. And it wasn't that they were fools. It's just that, you know, the printing press hadn't been invented yet. Books were therefore astronomically expensive, so the average person didn't have much need to read. However, this did mean that the stained glass depictions of scenes from the Bible, and especially from Jesus' life, were not simply meant to be enjoyed as art. They served to educate and catechize people in the faith. Most everyone was Christian, so when they went inside a church, those scenes of Jesus' birth, his life, the miracles he performed, the scenes of his passion, death, and resurrection, they came alive and they spoke to people. They weren't simply art. They reminded them, those people, of the Bible passages that they heard read aloud at Mass. See, that's the thing with stained glass, at least stained glass from that era. You can really only see it. You can only see the vibrant colors and all the details from the inside. From the outside, it's gray and kind of dreary. But from the inside, it's vibrant and beautiful and alive. And in Christendom, the term that applied to the European world, where almost everyone was Catholic, where Christianity was the preeminent cultural force, you could assume that just about everyone was going to see those windows from the inside. They weren't just going to be passing by a church indifferent to what was going on inside of it. So let's fast forward to the 20th century, to the turn of the 20th century in Barcelona, when Antoni Gaudí, a profoundly religious man in a less and less religious Europe, takes over as architect, designing the grand new basilica of the Sagrada Familia. Gaudi is one of the most famous architects of his day and has a style all his own, which, you know, it's fantastical. And when I was going to Barcelona and I was going to go visit the Sagrada Familia, talking to somebody about it, they said, oh, prepare to be awed. And I'm not a huge fan of that style of Gaudi's. I find it kind of weird, you know, if you ask me. It's like, buddy, you know, cut the medication in half. That would be my sort of there. And yet, when I saw this yet-to-be-completed basilica, because it's still under construction, it'll only be completed in 2030, I was, in fact, awed. It lived up to the hype. But the thing about the inside of the Sagrada Familia is that the stained glass has no images in it. It's about color. The architect is trying to give you the impression that all of creation is inside those walls and those spires and those towers. It's about inspiring wonder and awe and contemplating the divine. It isn't about catechizing. The outside of the building is where all the sculptures and the images are, depicting scenes from the Bible and the life of Christ. In the 20th and 21st centuries, you know, we no longer assume that everyone is Christian, let alone Catholic. Christendom is no longer a preeminent cultural force. Now, I don't know if Antoni Gaudi consciously wanted all the artwork and the scenes of Jesus's birth, his life, his miracles, his passion, death, and the resurrection. I don't know if he wanted them placed on the outside because he wanted to evangelize, to, you know, introduce Christ to the city. Or maybe it was simply his artistic choice. But regardless, I think it's an inspired one. Because he's engaging with the people of Barcelona, regardless of their faith, regardless if they have any faith or not. And today, this is the most visited tourist site in Spain. So it is engaging with people around the world as well. In modern times, we can't assume people will walk by our churches and care about what's going on inside, let alone want to come in. We need to be outside our churches engaging with the world. The methods we used in Christendom need to be rethought because we no longer live in a Christian world. Well, the fact of the matter is, Jesus didn't live in a Christian world either. So in today's gospel, when we see that Jesus sends his disciples out to every town and place where he himself intended to go, we recognize that Jesus is not about gathering disciples around him and keeping them there all the time. He sends them out to prepare the way, to announce the good news, to bring people healing and hope, to bring that healing and hope to a world that longs for both. Jesus doesn't want a church, doesn't want any of his churches to be shut up only for people who are inside of it. He doesn't want his people to have that mentality, that they shut themselves off from the world. Churches, you know, parishes, dioceses, none of them should be about just walling ourselves up, shutting ourselves in, and letting in the occasional person whose curiosity gets the better of them so that they want to see what's inside. Our churches are not about containing the beauty and truth of the faith and the goodness of God. Our church should be about making that beauty and truth and goodness visible to everyone. In the gospel, Jesus sends out his disciples to go and bring healing and hope to the world Jesus sends his church out today. He wants his church to go out today and to bring healing and hope to a 21st century world that still longs for both. If we just think about it, how divided is our world today? How partisan are our politics becoming? Even in, you know, nice, polite Canada, it's getting more and more partisan. Our country is growing more and more divided. We need healing. How much do people today need the hope for a true, authentic savior rather than the false hope of a political strongman? Because that's what we end up turning to when we don't recognize there's a savior. Over the years, I've heard many, many people tell me that coming to church on Sunday, you know, is like a bit of a sanctuary for them. It's an oasis of peace and tranquility. It provides a moment or two of calm in an otherwise turbulent and stressful week. And while I always appreciate those comments, I also lament that the rest of our weeks outside the church are so much the opposite of what we experience inside the church. Wouldn't it be great if the inside spilled over to the outside? Not just spilled over, in fact, but overflowed. Wouldn't it be great if today we who consider ourselves disciples of Jesus could, like the disciples in the gospel, bring the peace of Jesus Christ to every house we enter? Wouldn't it be great if we could bring the peace and the hope and the healing of Jesus to a world that needs it? At the end of every Mass, there are four different options for what's called the dismissal. These are the last words we hear in the Mass. And there are four different options. One is go forth, the Mass is ended. Is go and announce the gospel of the Lord. It's the simplest one, go in peace. And then there's go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. All of them start with go. All of them are calling us to be fruitful and to engage with and bear fruit in the world, not inside the church. It's go forth, go and announce, go and in peace and bring that peace and glorify the Lord. None of them say, stick around and wait for the world to come to you. The last words we hear are go. Wouldn't it be great if we took those words seriously? Wouldn't it be great if we took those words to heart? And just imagine what the world could look like if we did.